The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Friday, December 3rd, 2010, and Presidential Release Number 390. Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Please to put a penny in an old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, then a penny will do. If you haven't got a penny, then God bless you. In other words, Christmas is coming. The season of the conventions has come and gone, and we've had Thanksgiving and the board meeting, and now it's the Christmas season. I want to begin this presidential release with an announcement here, which shows that the time passes. Mrs. Thompson has worked with us now for 25 years, and there have been many good times in those 25 years. There's been some heartache, as there is in all 25-year periods, but it has largely been a joyous time. Mrs. Thompson will be retiring from our work on the 17th of December, so you might keep her in your thoughts and your prayers and wish her a happy Christmas on this Christmas season. I have a few hundred announcements here. The NFB Independence Market has some specials which may be of interest as you are completing your shopping. We've been selling the Victor Reader Stream, an accessible palm-sized book reader and recorder with built-in text-to-speech capability. This device can play DAISY books from the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It can play books from Bookshare and Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, as well as downloaded books from Audible.com and other sources. Users can also listen to text and HTML files using either a male or a female synthetic voice. The extensive navigation and book sharing features make this device ideal for students who are seeking to participate in class. The ability to make recordings adds another useful dimension to the Victor Reader Stream. You may even be listening to this presidential release on one of these devices. While supplies last, the Victor Reader Stream is now available from the Independence Market with an additional soft pack installed at no additional charge. This soft pack has a $49 value. It is a software upgrade which enables the stream also to play MP4 files from iTunes using EPUB books and Microsoft Word 7 DOCX files, as well as to record in MP3 and WAV formats. You may not know that the Independence Market still carries the Louis Braille commemorative silver dollar, which the United States Mint released in 2009 to honor the 200th birthday of Louis Braille's birth. Both uncirculated and proof coins make for great stocking stuffers. Finally, two elegant women's talking watches are on special at 25% off for this Christmas season. They are four-button talking watches with a silver tone bezel and a black leather band. One has a blue face with silver markings. The other has a white face trimmed in blue with silver markings. For additional questions or to place an order, contact the NFB Independence Market at 410-659-9314, extension 2216. You can also find our product catalog online. Visit www.nfb.org and click on the topic index and then on Independence Market. So says Ellen Ringline of our Independence Market. From the Strategic Initiatives Department, we have 2011 Scholarship Program to recognize achievement by blind scholars. The National Federation of the Blind annually offers blind college students in the United States the opportunity to win one of 30 National Federation of the Blind scholarships ranging from $3,000 to $12,000. The NFB is accepting applications until March 31st, 2011. For further information, including eligibility requirements and application information, please visit www.nfb.org/scholarships. The Dr. Jacob Blotin Award applications are now being accepted for this award. Each year, the National Federation of the Blind presents cash awards to individuals and organizations that have made outstanding contributions toward achieving the full integration of the blind into society on a basis of equality. Recipients of the 2011 Dr. Jacob Blotin Awards will be determined by the Dr. Jacob Blotin Award Committee of the National Federation of the Blind. Online applications are due by March 1, 2011. Individuals or organizations are encouraged to apply on behalf of themselves or others. The award recipients will be announced at the 2011 National Federation of the Blind Convention in Orlando. A total of $50,000 will be distributed to the award recipients. For more information, please visit our website at www.nfb.org/nfbblotinaward.asp. And here's another announcement from the Department of Strategic Initiatives. On November 12, 2010, the National Federation of the Blind filed a complaint with the United States Department of Education, Office of Civil Rights, requesting an investigation of Penn State University for violating the civil rights of blind students and faculty. The NFB filed the complaint because a variety of computer and technology-based services and websites at Penn State are inaccessible to blind students and faculty. Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act requires public state universities to offer equal access to their programs and services. As we intended, this action has served as a wake-up call to colleges and universities across the United States. The action was covered in the Chronicle of Higher Education, which is widely read by the academic community, according to an article in the Daily Iowan. The University of Iowa is already undertaking a massive overhaul of its web accessibility guidelines and seeking a web accessibility coordinator to ensure that it does not violate the Americans with Disabilities Act. Mary Jo Hartle, the Director of Education of the National Federation of the Blind, says the registration for the 2011 NFB USLAM will begin on November 1, 2010. In the summer of 2011, the National Federation of the Blind will have its third NFB Youth Slam, a five-day experiential academy focusing on science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM fields. Whether or not science or technology is your thing, there's sure to be something for everybody at Youth Slam. Learn the science behind building apps for your iPad using cutting-edge equipment and technology to determine chemical reactions in chemistry labs, building robots, or learning how to use non-visual technologies to perform a real dissection. We guarantee this summer program will be like no other that you have ever experienced. While staying on a college campus, blind high school students will be mentored by blind adults as they participate in hands-on activities that will show them that these fields are possible as future careers for blind people. In addition, students and mentors will take part in a wide range of social events throughout the week. Come to the NFB Youth Slam and meet other blind students or those with low vision from all over the United States. If you are interested in attending the NFB Youth Slam in 2011, either as a student participant or as an adult volunteer, role model, or instructor, visit www.blindscience.org to complete an online application or call Mary Jo Hartle at 410-659-9314 extension 2407. Join us as we continue to make history at what promises to be the best NFB Youth Slam yet. And here, also from the Education Department, is an announcement about the law program. The National Federation of the Blind announces the 2011 NFB Leadership and Advocacy in Washington, D.C. Law Program for blind youth who are in grades 6 to 9, or ages 12 to 16. This program will be held in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. from April 8 to 12, 2011. This four-day experience will provide blind students and those with low vision with a unique opportunity to explore the inner workings of our country's government, its history, and its culture, in addition to learning about grassroots legislation efforts, how resolutions are passed, and how blindness legislation is created. Participants will learn more about advocacy work for blind individuals and available resources for blind students and adults. Highlights of the program include visits to historical sites in Washington, D.C., meetings with influential government leaders, presentations by prominent leaders from the largest blindness advocacy group in the country, the National Federation of the Blind, a tour of the National Federation of the Blind headquarters, and opportunities to interact with staff and to experience the technologies that we have from the International Braille and Technology Center for the Blind, the largest laboratory of braille and speech products for the blind in the world. 24 students will be accepted for the law program. All accepted students must be accompanied by a parent or a guardian, teacher, or a mentor from your own home state. There will be a $250 fee per student. Transportation, room, and board will be provided for students and chaperones. Apply now by going to www.nfb.org/lawprogram. Applications are due by February 1, 2011. For more information, contact Treva Olivero, Education Program Specialist at 410-659-9314, extension 2295, or by email at teolivero@nfb.org, says Treva Olivero. Here is an announcement from Patricia Maurer. Santa Claus has made the staff at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute honorary elves. He has asked us to help him send letters in Braille to very young, blind boys and girls, those under the age of 10. in the United States. Between November 15 and December 20, parents can go online at www.nfb.org and fill out a Santa Braille letter request form. The form can also be printed and faxed to 410-685-2340. Beginning December 1, the Braille letters from Santa will start going out to boys and girls around the country. The Braille letter will also be accompanied by a print copy for mom and dad to read, and parents can choose the contracted or the uncontracted form of Braille for the letter. The deadline for letter requests is December 20 to ensure that a return letter in Braille is received before Christmas. For more information about this, please visit our website at www.nfb.org, says Patricia Maurer, Chief Santa Elf. Here is an announcement about the Blind Driver Challenge from Anil Lewis. We are counting down to the start of the Rolex 24 at Daytona. This means we are counting down to a milestone moment in history. On January 29, 2011, prior to the start of the Rolex 24 at Daytona, we will debut our prototype non-visual interface that will empower a blind person to drive a car without sighted assistance in front of tens of thousands of fans before the start of the Rolex 24 at the Daytona International Speedway. The Blind Driver Challenge of the National Federation of the Blind is our initiative to develop non-visual interface technology that conveys real-time information about the driving environment so that it will be possible for a blind person safely and independently to drive a car. After people begin to realize that it is possible for a blind person to use such technology to access information about the driving environment in a non-visual manner, there will be a progressive understanding of how this same technology will make it possible for blind students to get at educational information in the environment in which they work, and a lot of information in other exciting parts of the environment of the United States. It will be available for blind students and blind adults in employment situations. The impact on the quality of life for the blind as well as the sighted is immeasurable. The noise, the smell, and the energy in the air will present an overwhelmingly enjoyable, multi-sensory experience for all who attend. We will have a blind driver challenge area in the Sprint Fan Zone with an opportunity to explore the blind driver challenge vehicle. Visitors will have a chance to perform some automotive tasks using non-visual techniques. Of course, there will also be information about the National Federation of the Blind and our Text to Give program. We will have a team of NFB members participating in a chili cook-off. There will be many other things to do and see while we are there in Daytona, but it is most important for us to be seen. This is an astounding demonstration of the capacity of blind people. We are expecting our members, in true Federation fashion, to be present with cane in hand or guide dog beside to show the world that when provided with the proper tools and access to information, blind people have the ability to perform all fundamental tasks of life, including the ability to drive. Many of our Federation family members have already made their arrangements to attend. If you have not, you should visit www.blinddriverchallenge.org or contact Christian Kunke at 410-659-9314, extension 2219, to get the details on lodging, tickets, and other logistical information about this historic event. I look forward to seeing you there. The person who is coordinating activities in the Race for Independence is Parnell Diggs. Here is an announcement from Parnell Diggs.
Thank you, Dr. Maurer, and greetings, fellow Federationists. I just wanted to stop by for a moment and talk with you briefly about the contest that we are conducting to get as many Imaginators as we can by December 15th. You know, we have the Race for Independence going on. We gave some money away just a few weeks ago to the affiliates and to some grant recipients across the country, and we want to be able to give even more money away in the year to come. So we need to get people signed up for the Race for Independence to participate as Imaginators for the campaign that will conclude at our national convention in Orlando in 2011. And so one way to do that is to have a reason for people to want to sign up to be an Imaginator. And so here is a pretty good reason that I want you to consider. If you register to be an Imaginator by the close of business on December 15th, and if you are able to generate $250 in funds raised by the close of business on December 15th, you will be entered into a drawing for the chance to be a VIP at the Daytona Blind Driver Challenge, which will occur just before the start of the Rolex 24 at Daytona on Saturday, January 29th. Now, here's what it means to be a VIP. You will have a chance to receive airfare to and from Daytona, accommodations at the Plaza Ocean Club, which is the main hotel where we will be conducting our Federation activities during the Blind Driver Challenge weekend. And you will also receive a food allowance for Friday through Sunday. And you'll receive a pass that will give you access to facilities at the Daytona International Speedway, which is in itself a value of $119. And this pass is, it's a lot more access than what you get at the $30 level, which is the typical pass that you would receive. So, it's a pretty good package, and if you would get your $250 in and you are signed up to be an Imaginator by the close of business on December 15th, you will have a chance to be in the drawing to see if you can be a Blind Driver Challenge VIP. Thank you very much, Dr. Maurer. Let's race.
We are going to be heading for our national convention next summer, and we're going to be talking about the events, many of them that are on this particular release today. That is to say, those that are on the release today will also be the subject of convention discussion and activities next summer. Before we get to that, we have the Washington Seminar. The Washington Seminar is important. We have many projects that have to be pursued in Washington, D.C. We have to find a way to let the officials who operate the government of the United States know about the importance of programs for the blind. I urge you to be there, and if you are coming to the Washington Seminar, I urge you to let Diane McGeorge know. She coordinates housing and arrangements for the Washington Seminar. The number for her is 303-778-1130, extension 219. Please get your reservations in for the Washington Seminar. On the 1st of January, it will be time to register for the National Convention. We are going to the Rosen Hotel, Shingle Creek in Orlando. And the dates of the convention are July 3 through July 8, 2011. Get your registration at the hotel so that you have a room to sleep in while we are in Orlando. The rates are good, and it will be a spectacular convention. please get everything ready for that convention. I have an announcement here from Mr. Cobb about the use of debit cards, and he urges that you do not use them for your hotel stay in Orlando. It says this: every year at our national convention, we have serious trouble with the use of debit cards or cash payments at the hotel check-in. And having worked to solve these problems for years, I can tell you they can nearly ruin the convention experience for those who have the problems. Planning to attend our national convention should therefore include thinking hard about how to pay the hotel bill. And I cannot urge you strongly enough to avoid using cash or a debit card as your payment method. Doing so may seem convenient, but you should not do so if you do not have a credit card of your own to use. Prevail upon a close friend or family member to let you use one just for convention. Here's why. If you are paying in actual currency, most hotels will want enough cash up front at check-in to cover your room and tax charges for the entire stay, plus a one-time advance for incidentals that you might charge to your room, or meals, or telephone calls, internet service, and other things such as movies that you might charge. The unused portion of the incidentals deposit may be returned at the time that you check out, but it may also be mailed to you after departure. Understand, however, that if your incidental charges exceed the deposit that you have made, you are responsible for payment of the full amount at checkout time. The total can end up being a very large sum. If you use a debit card, however, you are at a painful disadvantage. The hotel will put a hold on the money in your bank account linked to the debit card to cover the estimated balance of your stay, that is, of the entire week's total for room and tax, plus any charges that may be made for incidentals or any deposit that the hotel thinks is reasonable to cover incidentals or movies or telephone charges and the like. You should be aware that the hold can be a considerable amount of money, and that you will not have access to that amount of money to do any other purchasing or make any other payments with your debit card. Hotels sometimes also put authorizations on credit cards, but those are not often a problem unless they exceed your card's credit limit. Holds can remain in effect for 3 to 5 days or even a week after you check out of the hotel. If you have pre-authorized payments from your bank account, for example, your monthly mortgage payments or other monthly payments, and if you try to purchase things with your debit card, there may no longer be any money available to do so because of the hold that the hotel has put on the card. Mr. Cobb says that if you are planning to use a debit card, you should know these things. He will be there in the lobby to help, and he recommends strongly that no debit card be used because of the inconvenience that it has caused people in the past. We have had numerous meetings here in the last little while to plan for things that are coming up. We will be talking about these at the Washington Seminar and at the National Convention. I look forward to seeing you at the Washington Seminar, at the Daytona event, and at the National Convention. This brings me down close to the end of the presidential release, and I want to say this first. The Christmas time is always a joyous time for me. It became so when I was small I would be at the School for the Blind, and one of the delights about the Christmas season was that I had the opportunity to travel from the School for the Blind to my home to spend a couple of weeks there with my family. So Christmas has always meant home and family for me. It still does, and consequently, as I'm coming into this Christmas season, I wish all of you the best time of the year and a great time for next year. As I look back over 2010, of course, we still have a month to go, but the first 11 months of 2010 have been very good to the National Federation of the Blind. We have made extraordinary progress this year, and we have many prospects for making even more progress in the year to come. May you have as good a year to come as I think we are going to have in the Federation. We have joined with each other and shared joys and sorrows with one another and found a way to make our lives enormously valuable and important. That's what we do in the National Federation of the Blind, and the spirit of the Federation is alive and well throughout the length and breadth of the movement. One of the joys of being alive for me is having as many colleagues and friends in the Federation as there are and finding a way to help support people who need it and to gain support from those who have the joy of knowing that we can build together. This is our Federation, and it is a delightful crowd to be among. So may you have a great Christmas or Hanukkah season. May you have a great Kwanzaa, if that is yours, or a delightful time celebrating this time of year and planning for the next. Here are a few jokes. These, it is said, were written by kids who ranged in age from 6 to 12 years. Why did Andrew wrap himself completely in Christmas paper? His mama said to live in the present. Why did Santa cross the road? The chicken didn't have a chimney. What is Santa's wife's name? Merry Christmas.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.